and welcome to the Over Underachievers. I am one of your hosts, Knox McCord. Joining me as always, listing out his favorite sex songs on national television, it's Jason Waterfalls. Buddy, what are you doing? What are you thinking?
Is this Stephen A?
This is Stephen A. One of the great regrets of my life is I'm just not in the life rhythm that allows me to consume Stephen A, to listen to Stephen A. I'm sure I can download a podcast. It's just I'm not doing that right now. But when the internet told me that Stephen A did a segment, I guess on his radio show, which I'm assuming is carried somewhere on ESPN at some point, but he was asked on Twitter what his favorite sex songs are. And by sex songs, the implication was like songs do play during the act of sex. And not only did he feel this,
we don't know that for a fact.
What we don't know what for a fact
that it's, he wants to play them during sex. It could just be songs that discuss sex.
I don't want to quibble with you. I don't want to push back. The intent was about playing this during sex because after he gave
the context,
I watched the whole
was
clip,
there. Okay.
He was like, he's like, guys. And he even got to a point where he was like, eat a salad before it. So he was like really instructive about like how to set a scene to set sex up. And music was a part of the ambiance. The fact that he fielded this question and answered this question with the requisite seriousness and ESPN just let him cook again. I don't know where he's at. I think he's on ESPN. But he listed out Teddy Pendergrass, Turn Off the Lights. I think he said Luther Vandross, A House Not a Home, which I thought was weird. And then he did R. Kelly. And let me tell you, my man dropped so many caveats. He was like, look, he was
however,
like, R. Kelly. It's like, however. R. Kelly, however, I don't endorse what he's done. Okay. But then he was like, but he is in jail. So it's okay now. He literally was like, if he was still out there getting away with stuff, I wouldn't endorse it. But
separate the art
jail.
From the artist. You know, we know Stephen A is the best at separating the art from the artist when it comes
he
to
is.
Athletes. So I'm sure he's able to do that in the music arena. I'm watching the clip now. Okay, this is a new clip for the record. Came out yesterday.
Yep.
I don't see ESPN logo anywhere. I do see it's presented by FanDuel.
He belongs to ESPN. He has to be.
I don't know because it's presented by FanDuel. And guess what just came out in the last 2 days as well? ESPN Bet.
Oh, okay.
So the Barstool Sportsbook has been officially rebranded and relaunched as ESPN Bet from Penn Gaming or whatever. But then Stephen A is being presented by FanDuel.
So I don't know if this is like a co-pro deal or something. So I don't know. So that's my fault. I should have found out like exactly where this lived. But just it was worth it to watch him really set the scene for R. Kelly and really explain how it's not cool. But he does have some banger sex songs. And I just got, I love living in this world with Stephen A. I really
do. You want a hot take? You know? I think Stephen A, the personality, maybe is not my favorite on the planet. I think he'd be a great guy to get a beer with. I really do.
Oh my gosh.
I think he'd be so much fun just sitting on a bar stool, watching the TV over the bartender's head, interacting with the bartender a little bit, and then just talking whatever you want to talk about that is hopefully not sex songs and not R. Kelly. With Stephen A. Smith.
But here, you know what? Spent Zone, he's got enough equity with me of entertainment because there's like, look, there are hot take artists. That's not a hot take that there are hot take artists out there. Stephen A. is certainly one, but he's a guy who has a lot of different tools in his take toolbox. Some of them are really hot takes. Some of them I think are really thoughtful. And I think he's a qualified guy. He's done the work. He's reported. It's not just, he's not like just some guy who comes out here spouting nonsense. Like he's like Bane, dog. Like he was in the sewers. He was in the darkness, right? He didn't see the light until he was a man, right? And now we're getting the whole thing. And he might be one of my favorite like personalities in the world right now. Like bar none, full stop.
No howevers. You like him and you're saying you endorse Stephen A, and which in fact endorses R. Kelly. Is that correct?
Oh, that's tough. Okay, that's tough. You have like kind of worked me in a logical corner here.
To be fair, you worked yourself.
I don't endorse R. Kelly. Okay?
Do you like doing Stephen A. Smith impression, or do you like doing Coach O more for you?
It's just different octave ranges. I think Coach O can happen at any moment because there's a specific like vocal range you live in and anything you can do anything there, right? Stephen A, it's more of a challenge, I think. It's an artistic experience. So it's just like different parts of my brain.
What's the pay level to get you to do a full conversation, Stephen A and Coach O, behind the paywall?
Oh my gosh. That's a great idea. It's a fake new podcast with Coach O and Stephen A. And they're just like, they're talking about recipes, you know, just their
what
favorite.
What bread they made during the pandemic.
Now, Stephen, I did the King's Hawaiian pretzel bread, like recommended.
I tried to remake that at home. I'll tell you what, that's a hard one to remake now, Stephen.
Tough recipe now. That is real difficult.
I'm excited to be here the week before Thanksgiving. I'm excited to be talking to you. Jason, how we feeling? What's good? What's going on?
Feeling good, feeling great, feeling energized. I don't know from what. Everything's fine, doing great. Excited for that break next week. Blessed to be able to have a couple days off next week. So yeah, we're just,
yeah. I mean, that sounded really like emotionally healthy. Everything you just said.
Let's just get there. Here's the thing. Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not to buy anything. What if the goal is to not buy anything?
Oh, okay. Okay. We got an abstinent brother here in our midst. Interesting.
No, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. But what if like that's the goal and then like under 10 purchases is a positive. Is still a positive. Like that's a passing grade. Like what's
okay,
the over
so the goal's
under
not double digit purchases.
Yeah. Like, is it 9.5? What's the over under on I've got to stop buying stuff online. I think we've talked about it here before. My neighbors already make fun of me because how many packages end up coming to the house as opposed to me leaving the house to go get them. It's the world we live in, you know, convenience, opportunity, et cetera.
You're a man of industry. Everyone says that about you. Spoiler alert, bad news. Temptation alert. Walmart's already had their Black Friday prices for a couple days now. I am trying to like populate the new office here. So I have been indulging in some deals. And I will just say it's been a good week here at the new office.
See, I like that. Okay. But that's before Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And then that gets you.
See, so technically that doesn't count. I think.
Exactly.
That doesn't count.
I will say this. There is something that I ordered in August. That is not yet here, that is supposed to deliver tomorrow or over the weekend, that you're going to be very excited about, that I bought.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see a Sam Hartman fathead. Are they still making fatheads?
I mean, I'm sure. People hold them up at the games all the time. How are we getting those produced, you know?
Man, a Sam Hartman fathead, that's an object of beauty right there, you know?
I saw a promo with him. And it's like for Dick's Sporting Goods or something. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And it was him, and he put a bunch of shaving cream all over his face. Mm. And then he took the razor to his face, and maybe it was for a razor company. I don't know. And then he goes, "Nah, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't shave off the whole beard." It's like, that's
love
pretty
it.
Good.
Don't do it, Sam. Don't do it. Are you a at family gatherings? I'm doing my Black Friday shopping to avoid like conversation, like when you need a minute, or do you wait till like you're done with the family obligations?
Like, is that those are two real options? Like, if I'm doing everything on my phone to avoid any obligations necessary. Now, jump in and do the dishes. Smart, right? Put in the time.
That is smart.
Right? Yeah. I'm not going to help with the choreography of, maybe we talk about this next week. The choreography of getting all of the food ready and hot at the same time is what I'm a smart guy that's very logical. I truly do not understand how that happens.
No,
if you don't have a full chef's kitchen. Yeah, oh, yeah, three. I do the three. I'll do the meat and everyone else take care of everything else.
No, see, I'm talking eggs. This isn't like for Thanksgiving. This is just in life. Eggs, bacon, biscuits. I'm operating at 99.9 computer usage at that point.
Right.
You know, so if you had a fourth or a dessert or anything like that, nope, sorry, not going to happen.
We do HelloFresh. And when that one pot meal comes in, oh my God, it was like black bean and pepper the other night. You know which one I'm making each week out of the three that we get when there's a one pan or a one pot or whatever the case may be. That's my specialty.
That's what I'm talking about. That's good stuff. Okay, well, let's go ahead. Let's get into it this week. I wanted to, you know, we were looking at the rundown and I was like, there's a lot of different disparate stories that I want to cover. But so we wanted to keep it lighter, but cover a lot of territory here. So we're going to go kind of stock up, stock down. Okay. So we'll move around a little bit, talk about some different things. I'm going to present some ideas to you. Like we'll go first up. This is kind of a weird one, but this will go fast, but this will be a good example case. Robert Pattinson, I think, was in the Hollywood Reporter recently, and he was talking about like the clickbait is that he used to sleep on an inflatable boat, and that was his only furniture. And they present it like that's what he's doing now, which is why I clicked on it, which is why I got manipulated. But evidently this was like a long time ago, and it was the only furniture he had, which I thought, that sounds very relatable. I can understand how that happens, right? I can't understand how that happens now, but when he's like an up and coming actor or whatever, or just a busy guy, I can understand how you just have like one pool float and that's what you sleep on. But he, in this piece, he's also talking, I don't think he's going to become like a professional couch designer, but he did say it in a way of like, I did some sketches and I wanted to speak to someone about designing my own couch. So I wanted to get your sense of two things. Number one, couch designers, are you stock up, stock down on that? And then number two, as Robert Pattinson, as a couch designer, are you stock up, stock down on that?
All right, let's go back and forth and do our favorite couch designers. Okay. So we'll just real quick off the cuff, just name yours. I'll go first. Mine's Robert Pattinson. What's yours?
Vern Lemieux is, he's a really good Norwegian up and comer, you know,
Vern Lundquist.
Yeah.
Oh, Uncle Vern.
That's his middle name.
Yeah.
What if that's what Vern got into? Uncle Vern was like, I am passionate about couches.
Golf, SEC football, and couch design.
Let's go. Let's go.
So apparently, according to Architectural Digest yesterday, Robert Pattinson has designed an ear-shaped sofa.
Okay. Okay. So I hate it.
Good for him, I guess.
This is my thing. Do we need to improve on the couch design? You know, you've got love seat, you've got full A-word sofa, and you have sectional. I mean, I feel like, what's his name? Was it Emmett from Lego Movie? Tried to design like a double-decker couch.
Be careful here.
And the flaws were pointed out.
Doesn't matter.
The legs hanging down.
It doesn't matter.
I'm saying that was innovation, and we like that. We like the drive. There are some flaws in the system, which makes me think, I think we're done with couches. Like, I think we have arrived at the logical conclusion of couch design. I don't know why Abra Cullen needs to, like, I have some takes on couch designs here. Please let me finish, you know?
Okay, but on the other hand, isn't that, like, the best thing? Like, instead of him doing whatever all the other celebrities, like, tequila companies, done, mm-hmm. right? Like, we've got enough celebrity tequila companies, although they're very lucrative. So any of them that do them seem to make a ton of money on them. So good for them.
Yeah.
Couches, untapped market for creativity. Like, you're saying couch design is done. I'm saying we're just at the precipice of what the opportunities are for couches at this point.
But see, fundamentally, I feel like it's a shell game because no one, I mean, I'm sure like wealthy, fabulous, fashionable people do this. I buy a couch based on comfort. It could look like a literal human dookie, but if I sink into it, I have good high armrests, and I can imagine myself taking a Sunday nap on it. Purchase in progress.
Okay,
I don't care.
First of all, if you find a not good looking, super comfortable couch that meets all of those things, it's not making it into your home, and you know that.
I know. That's probably true. Our compromise is that Ashley finds me very, very comfortable chairs.
Yes.
Not recliners, not lazy boys. They are chairs that happen to recline, but that is not their dominating aspect. Okay.
I just want to be clear. Lazy Boys, the brand, if you want to become a sponsor, we are open to that situation. We'll do it. We'll let you sponsor for free. You just put a couple of Lazy Boys in our offices because our wives probably won't allow them to be elsewhere in the house.
Not probably won't. Just
that
won't.
Being said, okay. There are some good-looking Lazy Boys out there.
There's some real good-looking Lazy Boys. Do you think, is it like part of the deal as you marshal onto 40 is like, hey, World War II is going to get really interesting. Smoked food going to get really interesting. You're not going to want a couch. You're going to want your own chair. That is just like a tent pole thing of like heteronormative masculinity is you're going to want your own chair. No one else sits in and it's going to want to recline. It just feels like that's baked into the DNA.
What's it say about me? I'm 40. I have the corner of a sectional and not a chair, and I don't do anything with history. So, you know, just beating all of the norms at this point.
You're the exception that proves the rule. You are. I think your level of wisdom on smoked meats though, I feel like kind of allows for some avoided knowledge of history, I would say.
And I'm at the low end of some of my friends. So now I want to be clear about something. This was the low end of the stock up, stock down. This was like the pinnacle to me because couch design, I think there is room for improvement. I love Robert Pattinson getting involved in this. And I hope that besides that ear couch that I saw, doesn't look like the most comfortable thing on the planet. I hope that that's just like the stepping stone. Like that was one for them. Now he's going to do one for him. You know what I mean?
No, look, I just fundamentally disagree with you. There's like, are we talking materials? Like what are we doing? I feel like when we talk about couch design, we're talking about like actual things people sit in. I'm not talking about things like Moira Rose would be photographed standing next to. I'm talking about something that actually would exist in a home with normal people and they would use it. I don't think materials. I think we've innovated materials. We've innovated shape. We've innovated comfort. I just don't think there's no more room. There's nowhere else to go. There's no room left at the end.
Are you a leather couch guy? I know you used to.
I don't hate it.
I love them. I know they get a little hot, but if you're in an air conditioned house, it's not like I'm putting it out on the deck and it's just getting, you know, beat down with sun all day. I like the idea that, you know, it's cool. I get a lay on
it. I got to be honest with you. I got to stop you here. As a man who sweats more than any person on earth, I know the hubris that you're bringing to this of like your hot skinned thighs slapping against that leather couch and you're trying to act like it's a cool thing.
That's why.
Absurd.
Yeah, but do you know what happens if that's not leather? That just soaks into the material.
That's true.
I brought up spills. You brought up my sweaty thighs. You know what I mean?
So I brought up spills. You're talking about sweaty thighs. Absurd. However, I'm sorry. I mean, I thought this would be a good example, but I feel like the conversation has been a good example. Stock up, stock down. So I'm stock down on couch design, and I think I'm actually stock up on Robert Pattinson as a couch designer. Because I feel like he's the guy, he's a weirdo guy that I feel like would be really good at this. There was also a story, you see Josh Peck was like, I almost got the job of Edward Cullen over Robert Pattinson. And I'm like, holy crap. If AI wants to do anything functional, they want to put Josh Peck in as the Drake and Josh Peck into Twilight. I'm watching that whole thing right now.
Yeah, that is the Saturday Night Live version when the, you know, like a bunch of people impersonating actors.
Yes.
Try out for certain roles.
Oh my God.
Josh Peck seriously trying to do what Robert Pattinson did in Twilight. That turns it to a comedy real quick.
Listen, I probably every single day this week since last Saturday night, I've thought about Sarah Sherman's impression of John Mulaney as a potential audiobook reader for Britney Spears' biography, where she, the way she says, I was addicted to drugs. I apologize if that sounded a little Stephen A. I didn't mean to. I just don't have a good Mulaney like she does. It was really good.
We say we want to be challenged. We say we want to hear all sides, but that's not how we act when we seek out podcasts. I'm Mike Pesca, host of The Gist, and I'm crazy enough to think that we are up to the challenge. I challenge myself. I challenge my guests. I invite you in. We'll talk about such issues as masks. I mean, I know they work, but on a population level, the evidence is less than clear. Mass shootings, horrible, but they account for less than 1% of all shootings. Do we do ourselves and our society a disservice when we focus on them? These questions and more explored and challenged every day on The Gist, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's go stock up, stock down on the news that's kind of breaking-ish right now, which is that Pedro Pascal will be playing Reed Richards in the upcoming Fantastic Four reboot that I think is slated for 2025. I don't think anything's official yet, but that's the buzz, and the internet seems pretty okay with it. Jason, are you stock up or stock down on it?
I think we might end up disagreeing on this one. I am also stock up on this one because I think that he can play that central character that is not as, you know, he's not Flame Boy, Johnny something. He's not
Fire Hands guy.
Fire Hands. Yeah. He's not Michael Chiklis, The Rock guy, which that was a great casting. Cast. No. Whoa. That was great casting at the time. Michael Chiklis,
you're right.
As The Rock guy.
I mean, like tough, like they could like do cool things because they're tough, you know, like forward tough, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like I think it's Human Torch. Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards. It feels like a little bit of a stretch. Dad joke, pun intended. Boom. Just like that.
Nailed it.
But I think I'm not super familiar with the Fantastic Four, but I think I like this. If it's not like a cartoonish, if they're underselling the, like his stretchiness, I'm into it. If they're maximizing his stretchiness, I'm out. I don't want that at all, because I feel like Pedro Pascal is a very stoic center of gravity.
Yes.
And if you're orienting some interesting character actors around him as the other three,
and that is going to be important here.
Yeah. So it's almost like I can't weigh in until I know that. I think we talked about this on the podcast. There has been some conversation about Marvel reorienting away from King the Conqueror and the illegal mishaps of Jonathan Majors, and instead around a character like Dr. Doom, where that honestly seems like somebody who Pedro Pascal could play. But by the same token, I do remember Pedro Pascal in Wonder Woman 1980 whatever, and I did not really enjoy his performance. I didn't think he was a good villain.
I do not think he's a good villain. I think you see that in the incredible, untalented Mr. Talented with Nicolas Cage, where Pedro Pascal.
Are you saying mean things about?
No. I'm saying like he's technically the bad guy, but he's a super fun bad guy.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And
that's
he's like, I just want to have fun, and that's what they were trying to do in Wonder Woman 1989 or whatever.
What it's if that's Dr. Doom? What if they make Dr. Doom that guy?
That's not Dr. Doom.
I know, it's a bad last name. I'm a good guy.
Come over. Let's have some fun. One mistake was made. We blew up Earth. One mistake.
It happened one time, man.
I'd like to see Ryan Reynolds as a bad guy. I'd like to see Ryan Gosling as a bad guy. I don't think that happens. Pedro Pascal, bad guy. I don't think it happens. There's just certain people that can't go that way. You want to talk about Dr. Doom? Bring in Clive Owen. I think he's back now. Bring him in. Let's go.
God, that's such a pander pick to me. You knew I was going to get a reaction out of that. Like, I just, Clive Owen, criminally underused natural acting resource. I don't know what we're, he is in some Hulu show with whoever played Princess Diana in The Crown. And it seems interesting enough that I won't watch it, but I'll think I should watch this, but I never will. I think what I'm worried about is Pedro Pascal. His upcoming IMDb is very, very overstuffed. There's 9 upcoming projects. There's 2 in 2024. And that's not counting The Last of Us, which I think is either going to be 2025 or 2024, but he's got The Gladiator, 2, Electric Boogaloo. I don't know. I'm worried. Like if we're really treating this like stock up, stock down, is this the moment to sell on Pedro? Because
no.
I don't know that his approval rating could get any higher than it is now.
I understand what you're saying. I think he has a good picker. I think the fact that Wonder Woman 1989 was not our favorite movie of all time.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Kristen Wiig shot her last shot to stop being in comedies and indie movies.
Spicy take. I kind of loved her in that, to be honest with you.
She overacted. I'm sorry to say it. I love her so much, but
she was a woman dressed up like a murderous cheetah. That's not her fault. The character asked for it.
Okay. So that's where I was going to kind of go. I think that if you look at his picker, I think he's had some good pickers. He's Kingsman, The Golden Circle, Game of Thrones, obviously, Mandalorian, Last of Us, the unbearable Jason, talents of Nicolas Cage.
Did you really begin this with saying The Kingsman and citating that as like really good picker stuff? Are you a Kingsman guy?
Yeah, 100%. I own them all. I thought I might be able to slip that by, and maybe you didn't have a take on it. But yeah, I love those movies. They are unapologetic. Channing Tatum's in it. It's incredible. Taron Egerton is maybe the most underrated actor in all of Hollywood. He is incredible.
That is, and
he can sing.
Hilarious take. I love
it. It's not
it
hilarious.
So much. No, it is for me. I love it. I'm encouraging you. I'm saying nice things so you don't know what I'm actually doing right now.
Positive guess.
The thing I appreciate about The Kingsman is it's like that kid in school who is like a C-minus student, but they're very organized and they're not disruptive. So it's like, this looks really clean and I like this and organized, and it looks like it wouldn't be very dramatic on the eyes. So I'll allow it. I'll be here for that.
They turn their assignments in on time. You know what I mean? They didn't read the instructions correctly, but guess what? There's an answer for every question that was asked.
But guess what? They say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. And that's respect.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Pedro, he does have, so he has The Gladiator 2 with Paul Mescal, which I always feel like I'm saying incorrectly. And he has a singular Coen brother, movie called Driveway Dolls with Matt Damon and Margaret Qualley that it's all shaping up to be prestige-y. So this is probably a little too early to sell, but I'm just saying keep your eye on Pedro Pascal is what I would say.
I might retract my Pedro Pascal's picker is really good because maybe 1989. He was also in The Bubble. Kind of forgot about that. That was the Netflix Judd Apatow.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Like very meta.
I made it like 20 minutes into that movie and I was like, this is bad.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not, he can't be on like set with Baby Yodes if he's going to do the bubble stuff, you know? So like you gotta like, it's a shotgun blast of opportunity. Let's move now. Let's go. Let's get to sports here. Let's talk about the Kelce brothers. We are, I think in this week's podcast episode, I said that I feel like I'm being waterboarded with Kelce content. This was, in light of Travis traveling to Argentina, to be serenaded and to be very naturally shown off stage on camera, accepting a kiss that was very authentic. I mean, all these things I'm saying from Taylor Swift. We also, this was, and so that was before we got a Christmas duet from the Kelce brothers, in the lead up to, I don't know if they're doing a Christmas album together, but they're singing together.
The Eagles O-line famously does. And they,
right. So I don't know if like they're going off script and they're just going like a brother style or
yeah, deal. There's one song that they're doing a duet for.
And Jason was a finalist for Sexiest Man Alive. So is this
Jason Kelce, not Waterfalls?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, people don't know. Count the votes. Count all the votes, you know?
Recount.
I don't want to blame voting systems in this situation, but I have some accounting questions. My question to you is, if you were advising a client on whether they hold their Kelce brother stock or whether they get rid of it, what would you say right now?
This one's tough because is it their fault? Are they being victimized in all of this? That would be the question. That'd be the question that I would ask. You know, stories in Hollywood where artists were taken advantage of. I'm afraid that might be what's going on here. They're being forced to podcast against their will. They're being forced to travel to Argentina against their will. They're being forced to create offensive linemen Christmas albums against their will. And then arbitrarily, not on the Philadelphia Eagles, bring in one of their brothers that happens to be going through a moment to do a duet. Like, you do have to start asking yourself, is this being done to them, right? For the Kelce brothers. Right.
Okay. Is this Illuminati stuff? Like, what's going on?
Who would be the number one Illuminati in this situation?
It's not Roger Goodell. He's not smart enough.
It's Mama Kelce.
Oh my gosh. She's pulling the strings.
She has a checkered past.
Does she really have a checkered past?
I don't know.
But if you say that about anybody, it's like, exactly. I accept it completely. You know,
allegedly, so we don't get sued. What if she has a checkered past and she is playing this out for her sons? You ever heard of, what is it, Dance Moms? This is a Dance Moms situation. Let's get them on that show too.
Oh, Tackle Boys? And it's just like really like stage managed football moms.
Why
I love that.
Tackle Boys. They're both on tackle offense.
B-O-I-S, you know, but no, Travis gets tackled.
I got the boys part.
Can you explain football? There's tackling. Some people do the tackling. Some people get tackled.
Okay, but in Dance Moms, guess what the kids do? They do the dancing. These both play on offense. They don't do the tackling unless you're alleging that both their offense have turned the ball over a lot and then they're having to. And maybe that's a forced situation.
Tackle box? What if it's the tackle box? You know, that's more fishing, but
it's a fishing show now. I like the tie-in. Okay.
Does Donna fish? I don't know.
Holmes and Auto. Figure that in somehow. State Farm. Big State Farm is behind all of this. Now, they sponsor podcasts, so let's be nice to State Farm. We might, you know, one day.
I don't think they'll worry about us.
No, I don't either, but I do like the idea that a State Farm ad, you know, because we don't pick the ads, and we've had some interesting ones. I like the idea that a State Farm ad is going to play right after this.
Oh, man. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Baby Billy Bayless. Guess what he told me? He texted the group, and he said, oh my gosh, an F1 ad played for one of your ads. And I got so excited and he was lying. So here we are.
Oh, baby Billy Bayless.
Yep.
That is not cool. I just want to like sprinkle this in while we're podcasting. My wife is spam texting us about Taylor Swift tickets that her brother or her hairdresser's brother's cousin's landlord has an in on. For next November in Indianapolis. I want a time capsule.
I think this is round two of her knowing somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that has tickets. Is that correct?
She got as close as you can get to being scammed without getting scammed. It was a very dicey situation. So I want to flash forward a year from now and be like, yeah, that worked out. We're watching Taylor, or we're out $3,000 just because the vibes were
good. Yeah,
but
you know what else is a year from now? Taylor and Travis are still together a year from now. That's the difference. Your tone and my turn.
Unimportant predictions. I'm gonna put that in. That is a prediction.
100%. They will be together. They will be together through all of 2024.
Dog, are you kidding? He might not even be in the NFL in a year. That's a crazy thing to say. That's absurd.
If he's on the NFL in a year, guess what he's definitely doing? Whatever she asks.
Yeah, that's true. That, like, man, I think I love your conspiracy theory. I love my idea about tackle boys, even though you didn't like that. I do think this is the time to sell on both. I don't know that it's ever going to be higher. Sexiest Man Alive, Taylor Swift side piece, making podcasts, making duets. I'm sure there's a documentary coming. I don't know that they can get any higher than it is right now.
As a stock, not a financial advisor, and neither are you. As a stock, I have to agree. I don't think the Kelce brothers get bigger than the current moment.
Let's go to, speaking of a huge, huge deal, Young Sheldon is ending right now. Do you know how many seasons they put together over their entire
life? Only because I looked it up today. I thought it was like three. It's seven.
I was thinking four max. It's
they're freaking out after being on for seven seasons. Nobody makes it seven seasons.
Not in this economy. Are you kidding me? So in terms of the Young Sheldon cast, are you stock up, stock down on them? And essentially the question is, do any of them work significantly beyond this ever again?
The only clips I even know of this show is the dad doing something straight man or doing funny bits. And I can't remember which one it is. I've never watched this show. I have nothing against it. I have nothing against the kid that played Sheldon. You know, those promos when they were doing, he was like mansplaining, kidsplaining football during the Nickelodeon broadcast. That's the most exposure to Young Sheldon that I've ever had. But besides that, I really don't know anything about this cast. Nothing against them. I just don't have the knowledge in my brain currently. So who is your favorite person on the cast? Because you seem like a big Chuck Lorre CBS sitcom guy. So I bet you know the ins and outs of this cast.
Well, honestly, you look ridiculous right now because
egg on my face.
Craig T. Nelson was on the show, my friend.
What happened to him? He didn't make it seven seasons?
He only had 35 episodes, so I don't know if he was a coach. Coach Dale Ballard, which I feel like is a little on the nose. Love the name, though. The guy, Wallace Shawn, who was in The Princess Bride, he was on this. I'll just be honest with you, Sexual Awakening, Annie Potts, is Meemaw, which is kind of tough for me right now to hear and to know. I think...
Who is Sexual Awakening Annie Potts?
Remember, she was in Designing Women. She was Woody's flame in Toy Story. Yeah. I guess four? The whole thing, honestly. He carried a candle for sure. There are a lot of people on the show. I don't know that it'll ever be better for them than it is now. I think really what this comes down to is Ian Armitage, who was Young Sheldon. My hope for him was always, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where they're like, hey, you need to get out of here. Dakota Fanning's people need this. I always wanted him to live like that. Like, hey, you need to get out of here. Young Sheldon, his people need this.
Maybe he does.
I kind of want him to exist beyond this show. I just want him to embrace Young Sheldon. He is Young Sheldon. And there's like spinoff opportunities. That's just who, you know how like Austin Butler became Elvis? And he was just like, I talk like this now. And he never said like, I'm sorry, but like, this is how it's got to be. I kind of want Ian Armitage to just be Young Sheldon. And he's like, I am Young Sheldon. It's one and the same now.
You want to talk about doing Cameo at the end of the show. How soon is it before Ian Armitage is on Cameo?
He's not right now, but I would say over under 6.5 months, I would take the under probably. Because I'm looking at upcoming projects. How many upcoming projects do you think he has cooked right now?
I don't know that breaking down Ian Armitage upcoming projects after breaking down Pedro Pascal's upcoming projects is the most fair thing for Ian for us to be doing.
This is just clinical. Alas, I think we're just researching.
Okay. Over under compared to Pedro. I'm going to go under. It might not be a lot by a lot. Spoiler. I bet it is, but I'm going to go under.
It is not counting on Sheldon. It's one. and his voice, he's Shaggy on Scoob, colon, The Holiday Haunt. But he does, I'm seeing some, he was on Show Us Your Pets, a TV series.
Careful.
And just for one episode, but I don't know if it's coming back for a second season. So I'm holding out hope there. I just want him to do okay. You know,
I do too, but I got to ask you, why is CBS, why did we have to cancel this show? I mean, he's 7 years older than he was when he started, in theory, but
boom, there it is. Young Sheldon's not so young anymore. So I feel like CBS has always been,
call him middle Sheldon. Honestly, why could we not follow this out to the very year that the Big Bang Theory starts? And this kid just gets to be this role.
This is what I'm saying. I think you go young Sheldon, you go adolescent Sheldon, and then you run into the Jim Parsons timeline, which is tough. He seems like a busy guy. And then you wait for Ian Armitage to get old, and then you do old Sheldon. And you just, it's like an art experiment.
So Jim Parsons doesn't get old Sheldon. Ian does.
It's Ian Armitage's role now, dog.
Well, then we need that one guy that did adulthood to be involved. What was it called? Adulthood, adulting,
boyhood.
Boyhood.
Yeah.
Did you watch Boyhood?
There, if someone was like, I will take 14 years off your life, or you can watch this movie, I'd be like, take the 14. I'm not watching this movie. I'm not going to get emotionally exploited for your artistic experiment. As a father of a son, get out of here with
that. It's got to be destroying. Okay.
No, thank you.
CBS replaced Charlie Sheen with Ashton Kutcher to keep that show running. But because people are aging naturally, we can't keep this show going. I've never seen the show. I'm kind of a young Sheldon stan now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here to support season 8.
You're getting
eight seasons
up
in a movie. Let's community this.
I mean, is this, I'm not trying to get like litigious, but is this ageist? Are we talking about an ageist situation? Okay, quick update on my wife texting. Never mind, it's not legit. She got hacked.
No one could have seen it coming. No one could have seen it coming. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I love? I love her optimism and her honesty. Because a lot of people would be like, I'm optimistic, and then I was this turned out to not be right, and I won't speak any more about it. I'll just let it fizzle out. But she embraces it. She owns it. She was like, I tried, I hoped, and I was wrong.
And you know what? She's on to the next one. She's gonna figure out the next one. Is it a scam, or if it's possible tickets that she can get her hands on, you know? Just on to the next one.
I think she's the best of us. She's the best of us for sure.
Study and save this summer with Waubonsie Community College. Earn the same credit as a four-year school at a fraction of the cost. Choose from a variety of popular transferable courses such as psychology, communications, art, biology, and economics, with many online and hybrid options. So study and save this summer at Waubonsie. Most classes start June 12. Learn more at waubonsie.edu/summer. That's waubonsie.edu/summer.
Okay. I think that's good for Stock Up, Stock Down. Let's go ahead and, we're going to move to our, predictions for the weekend. Before we get to our King's Wine pretzel bread payday picks, we want to remind you, that we are recapping this season of Survivor. If you want to make sure you can get every episode of that recap, head over to KnoxPico.com, support us there. The good thing is that supporting us means you get all the newsletter content that is paywalled, as well as our Over Underachievers primetime feed, where we're dropping, I think next week we're going to drop an ADHD episode, the Survivor recaps. And we've also got my next book, Go to Bed Angry. Exclusive chapters will be there.
Great title.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's KnoxMcCoy.com. All right, Jason, it's time to advise the people on how to get a payday this weekend. Brought to you by King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread.
There will come a payday. Hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday, someday. There will come a payday. Hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday.
While our picks for your next payday are just guesses, the only real guarantee in life is King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread. It won't make your family love you or your boss respect you, but it will be delicious, guaranteed. Jason, what are you picking this weekend?
Nothing in the NFL, okay? Let's just be very clear about that. The NFL has done me so wrong, I don't want anything to do with it. I'll probably still bet a couple of games responsibly, but this weekend, I am taking our Georgia Bulldogs. Minus the points.
That's it's at, I saw it at 10.5 right before we got on. Is that still where it's at?
That's what I've got.
You know, the tricky part is I feel like Tennessee at home, they're decent. They're tough. Tennessee on the road is a tire fire. So if this was on the road, if this was like last year in Athens, I would have taken Georgia and 50, like minus 50, just because I feel like Tennessee doesn't show up. But I like that. I wish it was 9.5, but I understand why it's 10.5. I don't think Dolly Parton is worth. I think that's at least a 3-point swing. So this would have been 13.5 if Dolly wasn't showing up to Neyland, as we talked about Monday.
And I'm going to probably bet 10.5, but I think the bet here is an alt line up to 13.5.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think Georgia is going to come in and lose by less than 2 touchdowns. I really don't. This is a time they're not ranked number one. Tennessee was whatever ranked. Like, this is a time to put some points up in this new world for the college football playoff and show you went on the road and you beat, I guess, the second best team in the SEC East, which is not saying a ton, unfortunately, right now for Tennessee. I'm being as objective as I can. I'm also, you're getting messages.
I'm sorry. Hold on. You're calling Tennessee the second best team in the East? Is there no respect for Eli Drinkwitz on this podcast anymore?
Is Missouri in the East?
100% in the East.
Oh. Yes, there's no respect for Missouri. I think they're frauds. I still do, even though they beat the crap out of Tennessee, and it was not even close. Guess what? If that's how Tennessee looked against Missouri, I have a feeling they're not going to look better against Georgia.
Okay. I like that you called Missouri frauds for what they did. That would be like Rocky at the end of Rocky IV calling Drago a fraud. And it's like, my man. He almost punched your butt out of your body. Like, what are you talking about? Get out of here.
Missouri, but I do think to what you're saying, I don't think Missouri's beating anybody else. Like, I get that they played Georgia close for a minute or whatever, but I don't like that Missouri team. I don't like the quarterback. I don't think Tennessee is who we thought they were, etc. Guess what? You're getting messages about scam tickets from your wife. I'm getting text messages right now about how from Baby Billy Bayless about how we're going to be betting Georgia, Tennessee. And he has officially given up on Tennessee. So that's the state of that program. And he's like,
wow,
do we take Georgia to 13, 14? What are we putting? What amount of money on Georgia minus the points here?
Now, here's the only thing I want to be careful of. Tennessee, after you get typically a program with respect for itself, after you get humiliated, you bounce back with more focus. The problem is you're running up against Georgia.
Correct.
So I feel like instead of expecting it like a 20-something, 30-point blowout, I feel like they will be inspired, but I think they are just still overmatched. So I'll be curious what Andre's thoughts are, like how high he'd want to take that line. Is this a Nico watch, like in full effect for this game?
I don't understand how Nico didn't get in any other time. Are they going to redshirt him for 4 straight seasons? I don't even – is this his first season there? There, he must not be
good. Let the $6 million man play. Like, let's see what we got here.
No offense to Bazooka Joe, undertones of offense, but it's time to see what somebody else can do here.
What did we land on? Speckhouse Joe, Joe Milton. I fell.
Is that before the
we might even have to floodlot? It might be a floodlot, Joe. You know, after our housing recommendations. Okay, I'm gonna bad boys for life.
We can't even stop now.
Okay, I've got three I'll rip through here really fast. I've got, this is just a principle play. This is just a core value play. Illinois playing Iowa. Iowa unders are just an absolute wagon right now. The last 2 weeks, the disgusting football that they are engaged, and it's not just like themselves. They drag you down into it. They make you get disgusting. That under, or that total is 30.5. I'm leery of it, but I just feel like on principle, I got to play it. Because we can cover on a 27.5 under, I feel like a 30 is just like easy money. So I like that. You mentioned Missouri, not respecting them. Florida travels to Missouri. Florida's getting 11 points. I feel like Missouri is a lot better. I feel like Florida's decent at home. I feel like they're kind of like Tennessee, trash on the road. The biggest thing I want to talk about is this a Billy Napier, if you lose, don't come home game?
We're talking about coach buyouts this week. It's just like, if he doesn't win at Missouri, if he doesn't cover at Missouri, let's just say that. If he does not cover at Missouri, it's got to be time. Like, I don't know who you get, and we've done this so many times, but it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, to steal your own, to plagiarize your point, I don't know. There's not like an obvious Florida guy out there unless it's, is this a come home urban?
Come home. nothing would be more disgusting than Urban going back to Florida after that untold whatever Netflix thing where they definitely
and to do help. Another season of that documentary where they don't talk about the bad stuff. I can see Florida being like, no, you're getting another season. We're not doing this. This is nonsense. But I can also see Eli Drinkwitz just like rowboating all over them at home and it kind of being the end.
Huge Eli guy out of you. Like it compounds every week. Is there something else going on that I need to know about?
I shorted them this year. I was like, they're not going to be good. They have defied expectations. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a really good coach. I think anyone who can step to Kirby in Georgia multiple years in a row and not be like on the same financing or kind of program status, I respect it. I respect the heck out of it, man.
Ding dong, ding dong. Guess who's at the front door? Lane. Who? He wants you to pick him or Eli.
It's impossible. You can't ask me to do that. One is the son who is doing well for himself and is going to have like a nice life. And the other one is I just want him to not be in jail, you know? So it's just asking me to pick between very different things. I just want Lane to be okay. Eli, I'm impressed with. You know, I have a lot of pride in Eli.
All right. I might start changing my mind around here on Eli then.
Just give him a shot.
Eli Gemstone Drinkwitz.
Last one. This is this is a theory game. Okay.
LSU, yeah, I don't know what the theory is. This one being on here was kind of curious for me.
Okay. Let me throw it at you. LSU hosting Georgia State. The line is LSU's giving 32 points. I think that is this a Jaden Daniels let's win him the Heisman game where we're going to go full like Madden old NCAA stats and it's going to be like, did Jaden Daniels threw for 500 yards and scored 10 touchdowns? What? I think they empty the playbook here because you've got Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is not the Heisman winner. He's had a great year. He's had a great career. If he wins the Heisman, that'll feel like a weird year. Jaden Daniels feels like if he can put together a monster game and really goose those stats, I feel like the West Coast guys, they're going to split some votes and we will have like a Southeast, a regional winner. I think all he needs to do is not get hurt and just really light up the scoreboard. So I would take the points with that idea going.
I want to back you on this. I'm not so interested in taking LSU minus 32, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to click right now on a 2-unit bet on Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman Trophy at plus 320. Boom. Placed.
Okay. I was just about to look up those odds. I like the plus 320. I think I'll jump with you there as well. I think I'll back that up. So we'll Bad Boys for Life, the Heisman bet.
We can't be stopped now because it's Bad Boys for Life.
Okay. That's our picks. And before we go to Cameo Close to the Pin, let's check in with Andre to get his 3-stack pack of picks.
Gentlemen,
how we doing?
Happy week 12 of college football. What a weekend we had in Athens, Georgia, watching those Bulldogs derail the Lane train and return to their rightful spot as the number one team in all the land. A couple of week 12 best bets. We're going to take the Iowa State Cyclones on the road at Texas, plus 7.5. Northwestern with their new coach, plus 2. And Texas State, minus 4. Lastly, a little bonus bet for week 12. Take those Georgia Bulldogs big in Knoxville. And we take our Tennessee team total under 8.5 straight to the pay window.
All right, Jason, Cameo Close to the Pin. We are round 6. I think it's you've got 3, I've got 2. This week, we will be guessing Mr. Feeny, the actor who played Mr. Feeny on Boy Meets World, where if we had done a Dead or Alive, I would have picked
I'm doing one right now.
I saw his name on Cameo. I'm assuming he's still active. I can't tell you how old he is because he was old when he was in Boy Meets World. So the guy's got to be
19. Was he one of those that was like not as old as you thought, but at the time we just thought every person that had a little bit of gray in their hair was like a million years old. But now we know that anybody that has gray in their beard is just like early 40s. I mean, like probably only 40, not even 41 yet.
Well, I thought you were trying to like do some drive-bys on me and I was like emotionally bereft and then like you saved it and I was like, whoa. I feel like a swell of adrenaline.
We've done this, brother. We look awesome. I know. We look better at 40 than Mr. Feeny did at 38. You know what I mean?
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Bad Boys for Life on that.
We can't be stopped now because it's Bad Boys for Life.
Thank you. Yes. So Mr. Feeny, I need to look up. I don't know what his actual name is.
William Daniels.
William Daniels. That's a great Mr. Feeny name.
I'm on IMDb, not on Cameo for the record.
Okay.
Is he about to turn 95? Wait a minute. Hold up.
That feels right.
That my man is doing cameos at 95. He was on Saint Elsewhere with Denzel.
Was he really? Feeny and Denzel on the same screen? Watch out.
Remember, he was the voice of Kit.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, he was in Benchwarmers as Kit. That's awesome.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Because John Lovitz had the car. Yeah. My number is $100.
Okay.
Okay, I see two numbers. This is not good.
I've got 94. Sorry, 94. I started with 74 and then I wrote 94 because you said 90, he's 95 years old or he's about to be 95 years old.
You wrote two numbers on your hand and then showed me your hand.
Full transparency, man. I'm telling you, the top
numbers
are
one. Crossed out. This is question.
There you go. I cross it out.
Okay. Well, all right. Valid then.
It was the birthday. The birthday did it for me because I can see him being like, I got this. Okay. William Daniels. He goes by Bill Daniels on Cameo. Oh,
sure. Absolutely.
In the link, which is strange. You can have Bill Daniels, Mr. Feeny, Kit for $150.
Yes.
And like, yes. I'm so congratulations to you. Holy S word. He looks so old.
Let's be careful here.
This feels like elder abuse.
Okay. Hold on. Now that I know, because I can't see the picture, I can see other pictures on IMDb and such. I want you to be very careful with where you go with this because your ageism, you were helping out young Sheldon earlier. Don't lose that mojo in the ageism realm that you garnered a lot of good publicity earlier in this episode. Don't lose it now.
Be careful. I get unfairly branded as an ageist. I feel like I'm an age unifier. I'm a unifier.
Telegrapher person, please read that back. Stenographer. I am an ageist, Knox McCoy. No. And this is me, listen, Knox McCoy, saying that I am an ageist.
I'm ageist in sections of life because I don't think babies should be president. I also don't think elderly men or women should be president or elected officials. What I'm seeing with Bill Daniels is a guy who looks really, really old. And
he is really, really old. So there's nothing wrong.
I just
wrong.
Don't want him to have to tell me great job on my fantasy football win because I just want him to like eat some snacks, pet some cool dogs, have a great recliner or couch or corner in the sectional or have an ear couch. I don't know, man, like whatever he wants. I just don't want him doing this, but good for 150. I didn't think he'd be able to get 150.
I went triple dig. I figure at 95, you're not doing it for a buck 95. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
It's got to be worth the time because if you're shutting off Wheel of Fortune, great show, by the way, that I like, but I'm just trying to pander it to you to set you off, make you say even more ridiculous things. Right. If you're going to turn off Wheel of Fortune,
person.
Allegedly, we don't know that for a fact, then it's got to be worth the money.
Let Bill sleep. Just let Bill rest. You know, he doesn't need to be making money. He's done enough for everybody. But he does have a 4.99 star rating, 971 reviews. So that man is working. He is working for the weekend. Okay, that is it for this edition of Over Under Achievers. Before we go, we'd like to encourage you to spread the word about the show by tweeting, Instagramming, or just talking about it loud around other people. You know, that's the best way to help us out. And it makes you look like a genius because of what great taste you have. I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb and the shape of it out on her forehead. Well, the beers start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the wounds and I hit the ground running. It didn't make sense, not to live for fun. The brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so what's wrong with it in the back street? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Make the show on, yeah. Hey now, only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place, and it's big, it's colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media man begs to differ, judging by the hole in the solar light picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty clear. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. When world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. All back when I've been throwing. Only shooting stars.